When at about 7, my parents decided to move to the suburbs to get away from people. They bought a large house with grounds and woods and a fish pond where there were squirrels instead of rats. They lived there in a comfortable capsule with a beautiful garden and cut off from contact with the life of the city. I went to a private suburban high school. I was not conspicuously good or bad at sports, neither brilliant nor backward in studies. I had a definite blind spot for mathematics or anything mechanical. I never liked competitive team games and avoided these whenever possible. I became, in fact, a chronic malingerer. I did like fishing, hunting, and hiking. I read more than was usual for an American boy of that time and place. Oscar Wilde, Anatole France, Baudelaire, even Gide. I formed a romantic attachment for another boy, and we spent our Saturdays exploring old quarries, riding around on bicycles, and fishing in ponds and rivers. At this time, I was greatly impressed by an autobiography of a burglar called You Can't Win. The author claimed to have spent a good part of his life in jail. It sounded good to me compared with the dullness of a Midwest suburb where all contact with life was shut out. The environment was empty, the antagonist hidden, and I drifted into solo adventures. My criminal acts were gestures, unprofitable, and for the most part unpunished. I would break into houses and walk around without taking anything. As a matter of fact, I had no need for money. Sometimes I would drive around in the country with a .22 rifle shooting chickens. I made the roads unsafe with reckless driving until an accident from which I emerged miraculously and portentously unscratched scared me into normal caution. I went to one of the big three universities where I majored in English literature for lack of interest in any other subject. I hated the university and I hated the town it was in. Everything about the place was dead. The university was a fake English setup taken over by the graduates of fake English public schools. I was lonely. I knew no one, and strangers were regarded with distaste by the closed corporation of the desirables. By accident, I met some rich homosexuals of the international queer set who cruise around the world bumping into each other in queer joints from New York to Cairo. I saw a way of life, a vocabulary, references, a whole symbol system, as the sociologists say. But these people were jerks for the most part, and after an initial period of fascination, I cooled off on the setup. When I graduated without honors, I had $150 per month in trust. That was in the Depression, and there were no jobs, and I couldn't think of any job I wanted in any case. I drifted around Europe for a year or so. Remnants of the post-war decay lingered in Europe. U.S. dollars could buy a good percentage of the inhabitants of Austria, male or female. That was in 1936, and the Nazis were closing in fast. I went back to the States. With my trust fund, I could live without working or hustling. I was still cut off from life as I had been in the Midwest suburb. I fooled around taking graduate courses in psychology and jiu-jitsu lessons. I decided to undergo psychoanalysis and continued with it for 3 years. Analysis removed inhibitions and anxiety so that I could live the way I wanted to live. Much of my progress in analysis was accomplished in spite of my analyst, who did not like my orientation, as he called it. He finally abandoned analytic objectivity and put me down as an out-and-out con. I was more pleased with the results than he was.